Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by our supporting partners, NHI, RCARE, NRC Health, TSO Life, Erdman, and Sherpa. View more and check out all things Bridge the Gap on our new website, btgvoice.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast with Josh and Lucas. We have the one and only Eric Mendelson back on our show today. Welcome, Eric.
Accept no substitutes.
No way.
And today, since we've already dived into your background in the last show, today we are at ASHA here in California, just outside of LA, at one of the most beautiful places that I've ever seen in my life.
It's beautiful out there.
Even in the rain, it's beautiful. Yesterday was spectacular weather. Whale watching. We had some fun networking. You didn't get to go on that, did you?
I networked with the whales.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay. So we had a great event, but today we have the rain, but it's still beautiful.
It's okay, yeah. And the whale, they talked about spouting off with the whales, and all I could think about is you, buddy.
Spouting? Yeah. I do a little spouting occasionally, yeah.
There's some good puns there.
Yeah, we probably ought to keep this G-rated.
There were plenty of whale jokes going on, yeah. But I figured that we were not in the most appropriate environment to go through that. So anyways, we digress. Eric, you just moderated one of the most fiery CEO panels that I've listened to in a long time. There was such great content. You talked about culture. You talked about succession planning. You talked about third-party referrals. You talked about affordability, a lot of different things. And one of the things that Michael Grust said in the intro is he said, we invented senior living and we're still inventing it. Your thoughts on that comment?
I love that because just like the home of the future, it's before your time, but when I was a little boy in school, they showed us what the future would look like, and it involved home computers, it involved self-driving cars, it involved transportation by jetpacks. I'm still waiting for that. Mm-hmm. But I think that the home for seniors still needs to evolve, and as the next generations come up, like yourselves, you will add your own ideas about what home and place means for you.
You know, so I didn't get to sit in on the panel, so I'm interested in this discussion because I'm kind of learning here, and I've heard all the commotion about how great it was, so I'm looking forward to it. But to your point, I was actually talking with a developer and an owner-operator last night at dinner. And we were basically the same thing that you said. I was using the illustration of the movie Back to the Future, how when I was young, all of those Back to the Future concepts in that movie were like, oh, that could never happen. And it's like now several of the things are everyday technology. And to your point, it's the same kind of thinking for senior housing. Next generation senior operators, I think we are putting out a lot of visions and things that people are thinking, oh, that's too crazy. That can't happen. How do you fund that? You know, how do you manage that? How do you bring old and young together to live and work and all those kind of things? Mm-hmm. But it's got to start with a vision. Exactly. So that was part of the discussion in there, it sounds like.
It does. And sometimes a little bit of vision goes a long way. I'll give you an example. In Seattle, where I used to live, there is a Merrill Gardens project near the University of Washington, and half of the building is senior housing and the other half is student housing.
Interesting.
And on the bottom are restaurants and other retail. And no introductions were made. Nothing had to be done. Those two populations have naturally embraced each other. They've adopted each other. They do programs together. They play cards. They babysit, they go for walks, they work out, they become friends. And it just happened organically because someone had the vision to put those two uses together.
Yeah. Well, so one of the things I love being able to talk with you about every single time we get together, Eric, is you have the pulse of a very broad sector and get to see a lot of things that we don't get to see. And every time we talk, you have some cool stories that you've actually started seeing some of this happen and prove out, that I think the industry, we're not talking about those success stories enough, that kind of give the young generation, the next generation, the courage to do some more of that. So it's great. I think we need to talk more about those love stories.
Well, and that's a great transition. Love stories was a huge topic on the panel. Did you anticipate that being a part of what they said?
I didn't. Who knew? We're close to Valentine's Day.
So fill me in. I wasn't in there. So tell me a little bit about the topic.
Yeah. Well, Eric teed up a bunch of different topics, and then it started to get into culture, which we'll dive into in a minute. They mentioned that just the ability to attract people into the industry, and that the industry has this opportunity to tell their love stories.
That's right. And we need to do more of that. You need to tell a story about A, why it's important to work in senior housing and care for seniors, and B, why it's important to live in senior housing and put your loved ones in senior housing so that you can benefit from the sense of community and fellowship that develops. That's always, over and over again, the unexpected benefit of living in senior housing is the fellowship that develops among the caregivers, the residents, and then the residents themselves.
Well, I know in your communities, you probably get to see a lot of that. We were speaking a couple of weeks ago, and we asked one of our partners, NRC, to provide us some data about the perception from the public about our industry. I was shocked that there's only 24%. Now, this is according to their national research panel. Only 24% of the general public that was surveyed when asked about their perception of senior living, only 24% trusted senior living. And on a big list, the only group that was worse than us as an industry as far as public perception was the government. And so that should be a wake-up call that we don't do a really good job at telling these love stories. The flip side of that, and the good news is, just what you were touching on, Eric, is it was like 95% of the surveys that they did across the country in senior living communities with the families that actually have their loved ones, it was all positive. They had great experience, and they had great trust, and they completely trusted those communities. But it seems like, you know, it's that one bad story or that second bad story that you hear that pops up somewhere very isolated, and that's what gets told. So that was interesting.
That reminds me of congressmen. A lot of people don't trust Congress, but they love their local congressman.
That's right. It's very, very similar. So what else did you guys talk about?
Let's transition into culture. On the panel, you said culture is the secret sauce. Unpack that for us.
Sure. Senior housing is real estate. You're in construction and development. We've all seen an empty building. And so to make an empty building come to life, to have a personality, to have a culture, takes some doing. You don't just run a want ad and hire people willy-nilly and give them some training manuals or give them a web page login to read some training manuals and then hope that a culture develops. You have to bring that to the table. You have to train people about what your expectations are. And because of staff turnover, this has to be done constantly. You can't just do it once a year. It should be done almost monthly. I have one client, Bickford. They have stand-up meetings every Monday morning, and they read from a book that talks about their culture and caring for residents. So today on the panel, we talked about how Sunrise and Juniper and some of the other providers ingrain that culture in their new hires, their existing hires, and how that trickles down into a good resident experience that retains employees and retains residents.
I love that. Well, you hit on it. There is so much turnover in our industry, but even without turnover, we all have to be reminded, right? I mean, you can easily lose focus of the culture and the mission just through the everyday, you know, grind. Firm believer in that. So you guys are hitting on a lot of topics here. It sounds like a pretty diverse panel. Can you share a little bit about the group and the panel itself?
I'll kick that back to Eric.
Sure. So we had Michael Grust from SRG. He was the CEO there. Lynn Katzman, she's the CEO at Juniper Communities. We had Joel Nelson, who's the CEO at LCS, and we had John Cochran, or Johnny Cochran, as he said, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. Easy to remember his name, from Human Good. So, you know, we had, and I'm sorry, Chris Winkle from Sunrise. Let's not forget him.
Wow. Yeah, so that's power packed.
We had a heavy hitting panel, and I had to get out of the way a couple of times because there were some dust ups about third party referral sources and other topics.
Well, I'm sure that was a hot topic. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's something that gets people's feathers riled up these days, the third party referral service. What was some of the takeaways and discussion around that?
Well, generally, there was the acknowledgement that at least now they're a necessary evil, and that there are outliers like Michael Grust who are doing it on their own. And I have some clients like Senior Living Communities, they're doing it on their own. They're doing their own search engine marketing, search engine optimization. They buy words on Google and Yahoo and other search engines, and they do the work. They have dedicated staff that does internet marketing, and they track it using online tools to see if they're making progress, and they do.
Well, that's a perfect example of our industry kind of getting current.
Yes.
Because other industries have done the digital marketing really well for years, and I'm starting to see more and more operators understand, hey, we got to get with the times. No longer can we have this stagnant online brochure and expect that to be able to drive traffic. So, you know, one of the challenges, Eric, that I've found as an operator, and I know your group has struggled with that as well, I'm sure at times, is we often, as the operators, when we go out and look at partnering with a third-party service that's a digital marketing platform, so often they don't understand our industry. They don't speak the language. And it's still, you've got the technology, but you've got to match it with the content. The content's key. So we as the operators continue to still have to bear the brunt of the work. So to your point, it's interesting to hear you affirm the beliefs that I have had. And I've seen that more and more of your management companies, your operating platforms and ownership groups are starting to invest in digital marketing platforms because they realize they're already doing that work anyways. Why not invest in themselves and take ownership of that? So that's encouraging to me, and I think that will be one of the key things as we get more involved in digital media, and that's how stories are told these days through the social media, through the websites, the blogs, the ebooks, and things like that, and it helps to paint a better picture. We did learn also from NRC that 85% of the consumers nowadays are first hearing about our services through a digital platform. So, you know, they ask us the question, what story are we telling? What kind of curb appeal do we have? What does our culture say about us at that front door, which is the digital platform? So that's great that was a good topic today.
If I were a younger person today, I would start up an advertising company, and I would specialize in that because I think that's a real niche that our space needs.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, if our audience is out there listening, so we have had, Eric, you know, we have had an amazing group of people, an audience for our podcast that is not from our industry, that it was surprising to us, and it's very rewarding that I think through the podcast medium, we're starting to attract some people that had never heard about senior housing before, and their eyes are starting to open, and they're thinking, well, how do I use that finance degree, that accounting degree? How do I use that marketing degree or a digital marketing platform, sales, and apply that to aging services, to senior housing? And so it's great to have some thought leaders like yourself that can breathe that kind of through the podcast platform. I think that will be one of the keys to attracting a better labor market or a diversified labor market. So that's been cool.
And that's a great way to round out the show. Let's talk about and finish on the topic of recruiting and retention. It was a big topic. Chris went into very detailed numbers. It was like drinking from a fire hose.
I had to take notes.
I saw all the math brains up there just going. So let's talk about that. I know it's something that's close to your heart as well, and one of the reasons why you've partnered with our podcast, which we're so grateful for.
Well, today's topics that we covered, one was retention of existing staff and talent, and that's so important because when someone leaves, that's especially a top performer, often, you know, you can replace them, but the institutional knowledge, the attitude, the familiarity, you lose all of that and you have to start over. I think the best possible scenario is lose someone to another opportunity in your organization. And an organization like Sunrise is so big, they have multiple locations. You could be a executive director in one state and move across the country and be a regional director. So that's something they're trying to encourage. And I think, back to your point, recruiting new apostles to our cause and having them become evangelists is important. Converting someone from a line worker to a regional to an executive is a progression that I think is easier in senior housing than any other industry. If you just show up with a good attitude and do a good job, I've seen it over and over again, you can do a lot.
Well, I believe, too, Lucas and I have talked about this a lot. We have a big, shiny token in senior living that I don't think we put on the table very often, and that is we have such a strong purpose and a strong mission behind what we do every day, regardless of the community type. I mean, you're dealing with humankind, with people's lives, and so it's a very, very worthy cause. And what I'm finding in conversations with the younger generation in particular is, while they may be a little bit different ways of communicating with them, and they don't communicate in the same fashions as the generation that's working often right now and has been, they are extremely mission focused. They want to be part of something that they feel they can feel good about at the end of the day. So that's a big token that I think when we start talking about recruitment, putting that on the table and showing people those career pathways, which I think what you were alluding to, man, you can go just about anywhere in senior living. So it's fascinating.
Sky's the limit.
It really is.
Well, Eric, your time is in demand here at the show. Thank you for being on that panel. You did a great job. I took a ton of notes, and this is a huge value back to the audience. We will connect with Eric in the show notes. He's also one of our season 2 partners at NHI. Thank you so much for doing that. And thank you for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
Thanks, guys.
Josh and Lucas are taking the show on the road. Join Bridge the Gap at the Argentum Senior Living Executive Conference April 15th through 17th in San Antonio. Come saddle up with us in Texas by booking a meeting at btgvoice.com.
Josh, we love having Eric on the show and NHI. What an amazing partner that they have become.
Eric is a first-class guy. Had the opportunity to meet him several years back just in work. And it was so amazing that he's been so generous to us with his time. And he was one of the very first people that contacted us and told us he loved what we were doing. He wanted to really support it with no strings attached. That represents the culture, the accessibility of NHI that I've experienced, that a lot of people experience. So we're so grateful for the partnership.
Yeah, he not only talks the talk, he really walks the walk. And we've had the opportunity to even spend a lot of time at their office and with his employees.
It's been fascinating. So, you know, you think about this huge public REIT. They're probably in some ivory office, guards won't let you in, and they're not like that at all. I mean, they invite you in, they open the door to the entire executive team. They've treated us like royalty.
Like family.
And it's really been awesome. And their team members we get to interact with. They're out there hustling, though. I mean, they work hard. They're a very lean team. They all wear a lot of hats. And we're just so grateful, you know, when we had the opportunity to talk with Eric about the podcast and a partnership, what that might look like. I remember him saying, you know what, guys, we are not interested in looking for an ROI. We just want the operators. We want the industry to know we care about them. We're investing in them. We want them to have great educational and information resources like what Bridge the Gap provides. And so that was affirmation to us, right? And some encouragement. So couldn't be more grateful for that partnership.
Yeah. Eric is really great at building what he calls apostles in the business.
That's right.
I think it's a great term and very affirming back to us. So big debt of gratitude to Eric and NHI and their whole team for being a great sponsor this year. It couldn't be more exciting.
That's right. Couldn't do it without you.
Thanks.